flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
I'm afraid I've made limits feel bad to start the day, Bob.
I've witnessed it firsthand.
I feel like that was his intention.
No, it wasn't my intention. All I felt like, Bob, was, did Crowley... Look at this. I just pulled the handle off this chair that Crowley broke, and now I'm going to get blamed for it. I'm going to report him to personnel. First of all, it's ripped. Look at this, Limits.
Yeah, I see it.
It's ripped and it's broken. It just popped off the chair, and it was one of those things where, you know, like you leave the salt shaker with the top a little bit off so the next person pours it. Crowley did that to me.
But you have video evidence that he did. There's cameras in this room. You'd have to prove that in court. Or did you just do it with the thought that, I'm going to get Adam in trouble here.
No, I'm reporting him to Amy Mock and personnel after the show, maybe during the first break.
In personnel? What good is that going to do? Well, Joe, here's $10. Go replace the chair. A nice little felt thing on it.
I'm sorry, Limits.
I accept.
It's
even
okay.
Though I didn't think an apology was necessary.
Well, there you go. We can move ahead, Bob.
You handled it like a pro.
Good. We all handled it well. You good today? The Srixon hat is incredible. Looks like a Patriots hat from here. Which I like, actually. No. The colors are wonderful.
I'm just itching to hit a golf ball, Joe. That's it.
So am I.
I can't wait to do it.
Under
regular
Bob.
Conditions, not just going someplace. I want to do it when it counts.
Bob, I'm very curious. How many of those Srixon hats do you have? Because we've seen you wear them in every single color.
Quite a few.
A lot, yes. I like the product they make. I like the clubs they make. All of it. So, and there's so many great manufacturers of golf equipment everywhere. The technology has made it an even kind of game that way.
Bob, we have quite a show planned today. Everybody well? Okay.
Oh, feeling great.
We've moved past our initial fight.
Joe, nothing will take me off the high of the basketball game yesterday.
Someone by the
crushing
name,
South Fayette.
Oh, I thought you meant Austin. Austin.
Oh,
doing Austin,
P?
Things.
We're getting to that, too.
What?
So... Well, I think
Zach
he was
Austin,
pointing to Zach Austin.
Austin.
Oh, yeah, one Austin
had,
to another.
I went to bed last night thinking that you, Austin, would have Zach Austin somehow in today's show.
He's in it, Bob.
1:30, Zach Austin
what
will join us.
What a performance that was, by the way.
Well, why don't we start there, Bob? I was inquiring as to your well-being, and now you're moving ahead of me.
Oh, I'm
the
fine.
Guy comes
day
back into the show, and then he takes over. Have you ever noticed that, Limits?
I didn't take over anything.
Yes, he has.
That's why his name is on the door, number one.
This thing is completely, the left side of my chair is completely, it's broken.
You want to switch chairs?
No.
I'll bring you another one.
But I feel like he set me up here. I really do.
I feel like the chair's been broken for a couple days.
Not like this, Limits. It hasn't been broken like this. It's coming apart. Look. There's the chair.
I see the chair, yes.
Right. Let's start with a six-pack, shall we? All right.
Now, this is Ron Cook kind of territory. Six pack at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm still on coffee. I can't get beyond that.
He's on beer number 11. We know that. Boy, is he living a nice life. Let's make that our first topic, Bob.
I haven't talked to him. I sent him a few texts every now and then. He doesn't.
He returned limits his text?
Did he?
He does respond to me. I'm surprised he doesn't respond to you, Bob.
Well, he does. It takes a while, though, is my point.
Well, you were leaning toward he doesn't respond to you.
Well, I expect a response within a day or so.
Yeah.
You know,
he's retired. And
that's why I expect the response. It should be quick.
Drinking and on the beach.
Do you think he's out?
Life is slow.
Maybe there's a dating thing going on there that we're not
I was always
to.
Convinced of that because Ron was, he didn't give himself enough credit. He's one of those classic people who, when he looks in the mirror, he sees Shrek. You know what I mean?
He always says
and it's not true.
No.
He said he would never get a massage because he didn't want anyone to see his back hair. He didn't like that.
Well,
he,
then shave it. Or what did I do? Manscape it.
Could do that. Or
get
it could
rid
just
of it.
Be who you are.
Yeah, who cares? Make
Ron,
them work harder. They got to work through all the manginess of the back hair.
For his age,
he looks good.
He looks great.
And
he's
looks,
an aging Hemingway.
And I'll tell you what, the retirement life has agreed with him.
Yes, it
from
has.
What I've seen.
Yes. He's lost 20 pounds. Yeah. He's tan. Tell Bob the story of you and Ron's little interaction and how Ron did return your message.
Yeah, Ron has a little glow to him. So I texted him when I was walking into the stadium at the Orange Bowl when I first got to my seat. And I was like, yeah, you know, just might as well reach out. Maybe we'll see if he responds. And I was like, I'm down here in Florida, your sunshine state, neck of the woods area. And Ron responded like a half an hour later with a long message, like wishing well for my family and wishing well for a good game and travel safe and everything. And then I texted him back a couple days later and said, Ron, they still talk about you on the show all the time and wonder if you listen. And Ron said, if they're talking about me, they're probably not talking very well about me.
Yes, we are. That's the thing. Bob, wouldn't it be beautiful if in Ron's old age he developed a mentor-mentee relationship with limits? Wouldn't that warm the cockles of your heart?
I think he may respond the way Ben did with Mason Rudolph there. I don't know if he's going to spend the time to do it. No,
well,
actually he would.
When Ron was actually here.
I'll tell you what, he with every time I've seen him interact with younger people, in terms of people who are trying to get into this business
yes.
or whatever, he was always very open to all of it.
Wonderful, so, man. He really is in that way. And I still get people who come up and talk to me. Just last week, where was I? I think I was at the RMU Dome again, or maybe it was Shooters. And somebody came up and said, that last show with Ron, I'll never forget it. And Limits was a big part of that show, as I recall, weren't you?
That was the show where Joe Green and Joe Namath calling and calling and calling again to try to connect, with Joe Green landing for the Super Bowl in Vegas, and we were finally able to connect with him, and Joe Namath, who called us on the regular 412-928-9370 number,
yes.
not the number that
yes.
we gave him on the
That's
hotline.
That's pretty funny.
It was a miracle, Bob.
Hello, this is Joe from Beaver Falls. Yeah, who?
Bob, I had tried to line up Joe Namath, Ron's childhood hero, and finally, after like, I probably asked 10 people for the number, including Ron. And all these different numbers, couldn't get him, got messages. I talked to Joe Namath the night before the final show. I said, at 1:40, thereabouts, 1:45, I will call you on this number. And he said, you're going to have to send me a reminder. And I was like, okay. And then when I hung up the phone, I was like, that was worrisome. This doesn't sound like it's a done deal. How do I even send him a reminder? Does he text? And then we were trying to get him. And tell the story, Limits. People come up to me and say, that last part of Ron's last show was staged, wasn't it? You weren't really worried that Namath would come on. You were just sort of acting. I said, no, I was done. I didn't think he was coming on.
Not
and then
all.
What happened?
So we called him about an hour before just to remind him and make sure. He didn't answer. So we sent him a text. He didn't answer. We are finally able to connect with Joe Green, so I'm like, all right, take a little bit of a breath. We'll keep trying to call Namath. I at least called Namath 15 times on our hotline number. And the funny thing about it was, about 20 minutes or so before we eventually connected with Namath, someone called us and said—
Because I said on the air, or I— Did I couldn't have said on the air because
no,
that would have ruined the surprise.
Because it would have ruined the surprise.
So why did the guy call you?
Somebody called in and said, you should get Joe Namath. I'm related to him. I can't remember what the relation was. I'm related to him. I know him. And I could try to talk to him and get him on with you guys. And I said, I'm in the process of trying to do that. But that was about an hour beforehand. And the only reason that I would think that Namath would have had that regular number, the 412-928-9370, is that this guy that said he knew Namath must have given him the number.
Yes.
Because I gave him the hotline number when I left messages, when I texted him, all the above.
He called on the regular line,
and he called the regular number.
And limits.
How about if you didn't answer?
And that's it. That's it. Limits, to his eternal credit, had no reason to look at fan calls at that point because we were mired in the end of Ron Cook's career for some reason. And why was it, Limits, that you looked at normal fan caller lines?
I had called the number so many times that I had recognized the area code right away. And as soon as I saw it pop up, I said,
oh my word.
That's
good awareness on you, because it could have very easily slipped through the cracks and you never would have had it.
That's a rookie hitting the game-winning shot in Game 7, Bob.
It is. And I'll tell you something, though. You definitely have to follow up with people.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to just, you know, forget what you're doing. You're busy something and you say, I'm going to call, and you forget. So glad you did it.
That was like my fourth or fifth time producing the show, too, so I really was a rookie.
It was miraculous, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. And we'll be replaying that call and a whole bunch of things when we do our, is it our 15th anniversary coming up?
15 years.
So February 15th, did we go on the air? Now I can't remember, but 15 years ago that day, Bob, I went on with John Seibel. I was back in the bullpen. You know, our boss right now is Craig Riley. He's our programming director. He was then a part-time producer, and I was a nervous wreck at about 1:15, and out of nowhere started having more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. And so Craig went to the Rite Aid around the corner here and got me some medication before the first show. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were launching a new radio station. I'd never done afternoon radio before, Bob. I was a nervous wreck.
Well, you do it beautifully, and you shouldn't have been a nervous wreck. You should have been excited. But I get it. If you're that way and, you know, things can happen. Boy, can things happen.
Somebody wants to play golf with us. They just texted me. I don't know who it is. Let's golf with Bob when we go. I don't know who that is. We're going to do a lot of golfing.
Do me a favor. Just respond. Sorry, who is this? You're not on my Rolodex. Find out who it is. You can't do it without knowing who you're talking about.
Is that how you respond? You're not on my Rolodex?
Yeah. That's an honest answer, isn't it?
Do you say that, Bob?
I just say, I'm sorry, I don't know this number. You're not in, there's a lot of numbers that come and go. Don't you get that all the time?
This is from a guy who came to my house to fix the heater a couple weeks ago. So yeah, Bob, we'll play golf with him too. We have a lot of golf in our future, don't we?
Yes.
Including Oakmont.
Including Oakmont. How about that?
How about that is right.
People have reached out to me to golf with you too.
I'll tell you what.
All their numbers.
Yes, so, Gary Kelly would like to golf with you guys this summer.
Does he have a country club membership?
On the Pete Dye Golf Club.
Virginia. Have you ever been there?
How about that?
No, but I've heard about it.
Oh, baby.
When did he call? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I wanted to say it when both of you were here.
Oh, do you have his number?
I do, and I will give it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place. But I'm telling you, before you play Oakmont, that stuff that Craig Riley got you to prevent blowouts, you better get some of that too. Because there's no place out there to blow out. And if you have one.
What do you mean? There's no trees, no woods?
There's no trees, no woods, no nothing. It's totally naked. It's a Lynx golf course, essentially. I found this out firsthand when I had one of those, and I didn't know what to do. So just
What'd
so you
do?
Know.
Just have it on the green? I mean.
Like an elephant at the circus?
What did you do there?
But it's a very unnerving feeling. There's nowhere to go and nowhere to hide.
Believe me, I've been there. I've had stomach problems for a long time. Those commercials are right. Like it comes along at the worst time, Bob.
Oh, they always do.
Like here I am in the middle.
Have you ever had to leave this room to go?
Yes, in the middle of segments, yeah. I have. I've been in worse places than this, too, where suddenly I'm about to have a blowout like game one of the 86 NBA Finals, and there's nowhere to go.
You're going to the 86 Finals? No, I can't remember 86 Finals. Who was in the 86 Finals?
Lakers-Celtics, 148-101. It was known as the Memorial Day Massacre, but the Lakers came back and won the series, if you need the history, Bob. Did you have certain places, or do you have certain places these days that are special sort of private blowout auditoriums for you?
I can't believe we're doing this.
No, I did.
What do you mean special?
It was a thing. And speaking of the 15th anniversary, this became a topic 15 years ago. I used to have a place at the courthouse downtown. I would walk over there from Duquesne because I knew nobody would be in there. I had a place in the library at Duquesne. I had a place in the library at Cortland State, like on the 15th floor of their library. These unbelievable, like, blowout sanctuaries where I knew nobody could bother me. It's very important for me, Bob, not to be around anyone. And
sometimes you can't control that. If you went into a busy bathroom, what are you supposed to do?
Well, sometimes
you can't help it. Hip check somebody out of the way and say, I'm sorry, I gotta
go. You have special places, Bob, don't you?
I do.
At work, at KDKA?
I got to, yes, just in case.
Ron did, too. He had a place here on the third floor, fourth floor. Nobody ever goes up there. So what I always wondered was, if nobody ever goes up there and there was a lady sitting at the counter right when you get off the elevator, because there was nothing up there except the bathroom, she knew that Ron was headed up there to blow out, right?
So she'd leave?
No, but it,
she'd provide Lysol?
I don't know what she would do. But that's uncomfortable, isn't it, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that sometimes you can't control it and there's nothing you can do.
But it's the walk of shame after a situation like that. Did I ever tell you about Josh Miller's house? When I went over there?
No.
Limits, have you heard this story?
I think you have told this, yeah.
It's Grandpa Joe's story time. Pull up a chair.
I got my hot cocoa near the fire.
Hot cocoa. Josh Miller and I had just begun working together, Bob, when he was kind enough to invite me to a season opener. It was Peyton Manning's first game with the Broncos. Remember that was against the Steelers?
Yeah.
You remember that? So I went to his house. Lots of money. You know, it was out in, I don't know, past Cranberry, out that way.
So Wickley?
No, it was way out north.
Yeah, a lot of athletes live out there.
Yeah, yeah. So beautiful house. He had his own auditorium, like a movie theater, I should say.
So his own movie theater. Money.
So I was sitting in the movie theater. He had his kids come up with dinner. It was rigatoni. I'll never forget. It was rigatoni with marinara sauce and a Diet Coke. Is what I had, and a little salad to begin with. It was very classy. And we were watching the Broncos Steelers on a giant screen. It was unbelievable in a darkened theater in his house. So then near the end of the game, and the Broncos, I think, were winning comfortably, the whole family came in for a meet and greet type deal. And that's when it hit. Game one of the 86 finals. And you know when it hits, Bob.
You only have like 15 to 20 seconds to make a determination of what you're going to do. And you have no time to explain yourself. You just clear a path and go.
You have to make a decision. Yeah. So all I said innocently was, excuse me, I'll be right back. So for all they knew, it was going to be a quick trip and back. Right, Bob? Just a little tinkle, right?
Tinkle. Next, that's an old school word.
Yeah. Well, the next thing you know, I'm gone for 15 minutes. 15 minutes I'm gone in this beautiful bathroom. I come back and the whole family's gone except for Josh. And he said, I think you need to leave politely. And so I left.
Did he give you a reason?
That's the thing, Bob. Everybody knew the reason. I'd just blown out his downstairs bathroom.
But again, that's something you can't control.
I know.
He's an athlete. He talks all the time about you got to do what you can do. You can't worry about the uncontrollables.
It was very unfortunate timing, and they never invited me back. Have you ever had a situation like that? That's a Dumb and Dumber situation, right? You know that scene. Do you, Limits, from
I
that
do.
Movie?
Yeah.
Have you had that? An unfortunate incident at somebody's house like that?
Not at somebody's house, thankfully.
Bob, have you?
No, not at a house. I've had it. You know, at the KDK studios, I've had that happen to me. But that's, you know, you're in the middle of doing stuff and there's nothing you can do. You leave a conversation real quick. It's almost like you got an urgent call that something bad happened. You just go. You don't explain it. You move. You get there. Hopefully you'll get there.
You pull an Irish goodbye and just walk out of the room.
Just leave.
That is exactly right. But enough on that, Bob. I didn't think we were opening with that. Limits, let's have a six pack. Let's go, my friend.
All right.
Pitt, North Carolina last night. Man, did I enjoy that. And North Carolina, you know, they're not a great team, but they were 6-3 in the ACC headed into this game, and they're North Carolina. You know, the jersey, the team colors.
It's iconic.
The talent, everything else, it's iconic. And it was a really good win. And my God, Zach Austin was incredible. There are certain performances you remember in Pitt history for different reasons. DeJuan Blair and his brutish strength flipping Hashim Thabeet. You know, maybe a certain shot like Ronald Ramon from the corner. maybe the guts and courage of a Brandon Knight or Julius Page locking somebody down. I will never forget that game. I don't ever remember a Pitt game where somebody had a block party like that. It was phenomenal. He was jumping to the ceiling, blocking threes, blocking layups. I will remember that game for a long time because of him. You?
Dikembe Mutombo right there. No, no, no. You know, he was blocking everything. It was unbelievable what he did at critical times of the game, too. But beyond that, he made a big three to win a game in overtime at Ohio State. But this three that he hit, and he hit 3 of 5, I think it was, three-pointers. You don't expect that from him on that percentage. And he took advantage of Jalen Lowe penetrating, got open, and clutch shots. So blocks and clutch shots, and that's what he did. And without him, they don't win that game. They were down 10. You mentioned UNC is iconic. They are. But when they're down 10 to that team and fight their way all the way back, pretty good win for Jeff Capel. Following another one in Syracuse, even though they're not as good as they once were.
And Austin also had a great dunk.
He really can jump.
Soft hands, when we have him on here,
we're going to have to ask him how that happened. How do you increase your vertical? How do you do that?
Zach Austin!
At the buzzer.
Oh, my goodness. The Panthers win it.
Ohio State, baby.
I think of that every time.
Jeff Athorn had it was great, but it's Ohio State. It's his near and
dear.
His
alma mater.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Tremendous stuff last night, and Lowe has looked like, in the Syracuse game, man, he looked like an NBA player, didn't he? In that game, he just owned it.
Or he's going to be one.
My big hot take from when Bob Carrington and Jalen Lowe came in together as freshmen last year is that Jalen Lowe would eventually become the better player than Carrington.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Bob has taken huge steps. Like, he is a very good player, but Lowe... I mean, we saw it firsthand, Joe, when we were down there with Biba Cummings and Jalen Lowe, and like he is a very, very solid player, both ends of the floor.
Wonderful kid, too. And who made the shot that neither one of them could make, though? Limits, why don't you tell people about that? Yes, it was me, Bob. 2 feet out of bounds.
Well, it's a good thing nobody is shooting from out of bounds
in a
game.
I saw that. Behind the hoop. That's a deft touch you showed right there.
And Jalen Lowe called me the GOAT after that, Bob.
As they proceeded to lose the free throw shooting contest and half court shooting contest to us after.
I think he referred to the GOAT watching you run. Said, there's a GOAT.
Limits, you remember the shot, don't you?
I do.
Are you going to give me any credit?
It was very impressive. Very impressive.
What about the shot where I sat on the court?
Not impressive. That's just that. I don't like that shot at all.
You shot an air ball trying to copy it.
Yeah, I did.
And so did...
You knew my weakness in making that shot because you tried the same thing at Duquesne and you knew I didn't make it. So you knew that if you went back to that well, that I would struggle with it again. And I did.
But that's part of being a competitor.
Yeah, yeah,
trying to cite your weaknesses.
He studied my weaknesses, Bob.
Exactly.
Of course it is.
It was a good move.
Next.
For Joe. Good chess move.
Bob, you were telling me that last night you were talking about the Four Nations tournament and who exactly benefits from this. Would you like to briefly give your opinion on that what you were talking about on your show?
We were talking about this. Actually, last week we brought it up, only because we're getting close to it now, where there's going to be a complete stoppage of NHL play for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of these sorts of things. If you're going to tell me the Olympics, I get it. It's a global thing that you could win. I get that part of it, I suppose. But these things are like exhibition tournaments that are created for players so they can play with one another on elite status. But they often refer to it as the best of the best, but you do not have some of the best hockey players there. And specifically, I'm talking about Russia in a cookies. Oh, boy.
Nice of him, isn't it, Bob? Andrew has come in with cookies for us.
Did you make them?
He made them, yeah.
Andrew, by yourself.
Wonderful man he is.
Okay, he's honest. He said he got it from Giant Eagle. So I wonder who it benefits. And if you don't have the Russians, the Slovenians, and these other nations that I think, you know, have very good hockey players, you're missing out a little bit on this. And I understand politics comes into play. It always does with every Olympic Games. But I try to go beyond that and just, if you're going to have this, then you should have the best of the best if you're going to do it. And I don't know, and I think from a club point of view, I get annoyed when I see this happening and everybody signs off on it and they think it grows the game. I don't know that it does. If two of your players go over there and get injured, who does it benefit, really? Your team doesn't benefit by this. Even if they win, do they benefit? Who benefits?
Bob, I disagree with almost every syllable and half syllable you just uttered. Obviously, it would be better if Russia was there with their players, sure. But, you know, I think we'll all survive. Who benefits for me, one man, maybe more than any other, given the plight of his current team, and that's Sidney Crosby. I think this is a great respite for him to actually have an opportunity to play some high-stakes hockey, maybe for the last time in his career.
The players love it. They all do.
Well, you asked two benefits. My answer would be Crosby, but there's more to it. This is Mario at the end of his Penguins career. You remember Mario caught all kinds of crap when he was sitting out games for the Penguins but was ready for the Olympics. You remember that controversy?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because that was it for him at that point. That was his chance, and I didn't blame him one bit, to go out and play for a championship, to play, like I said, high-stakes hockey. And I think this is awesome for Sid to have this opportunity. So if the question is who benefits, it would be number one maybe of anybody is that guy because of the current plight of his team. Plus, I think fans do. I'm going to watch it. Penguins fans. God knows you haven't seen any big games around here lately. This is going to be fun.
Oh, sure, it's going to be fun, but it's strictly an exhibition, and you're interrupting your entire season for 2 weeks for an exhibition that doesn't benefit your team whatsoever.
Your team stinks. These cookies are
talking about. I'm not talking about just the Penguins. I'm talking about any team. And God forbid if there's an injury to one of these star players, you're going to have a, you know, to my knowledge, you're not getting paid for this, are they?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Well, listen, I get it for Olympics. You're doing it for your country, the gold medals, all that stuff. That's fine. This is just a glorified exhibition, and that's fine if people want to watch it. But again, I just wonder what it does for any team in the NHL.
Next. Bob, because you are who you are, you got a separate interview with Art Rooney II the other day. Can you believe this, Limits? Yeah, I agree, Bob.
A round of applause for Bob.
Not only did you get the separate interview, Bob, you asked one of the if I had three questions to ask at that thing the other day. If it was just me and him, one of my questions would have been what happened with the Chicago Bears phone call to try to trade for Mike Tomlin. So tell me how you formulated the question and what his answer was.
I wanted to find out just because I think it's intriguing. And there have been historical episodes of teams making trades for coaches. And the result is normally a pretty good package in return. So I just wanted to know how far first that conversation went. He said not far at all. We didn't. I also, you know, to me it's interesting. I would just like to know if it's me, and I don't think Art was interested in this, but if it was me, I would like to know just hypothetically what you think a return like that would look like.
And yes.
That's all I would want to know. But again, it never got too far down the road with that. And his belief is that he has the right coach and they will move forward and change things. We'll see, because the next several weeks will have a lot to do with that. But I wanted to find out. He wasn't going to answer that. I knew it, just because that's a hypothetical situation. But I think for a coach of Tomlin's caliber, you can probably extract a lot from a team like Chicago. I mean, they already did with a couple of the trades they made with them. So, but it wasn't going to go far, and it never did that way. So,
yeah, my fear is that Art is living in a world of fear and delusion when it comes to his football team. You know, I think he's a good man and has done some good things with the Steelers. But the current state that he is overseeing with this franchise is just, it feels like living in abject fear of what might be.
I think a lot of that,
you know, the other side of Mike Tomlin, like how could we possibly survive when you have a good coach? You work with them, you know, you don't want to be one of those 6 to 8 teams that changes coaches. What about the team on the other side of the state that's going to the Super Bowl again that changes coaches all the time?
Well, there are good examples for that for sure. But there's also other examples that go the other way. I want to see what they do with, I still think they're going to be coaching staff moves. I don't know where they're going to occur, when they're going to occur.
I have a 2-word response to that, Bob. Who cares? It's not going to be a coordinator or the head coach. Who cares?
Well, fine, but I think you can also do it. A team like the Ravens have done, like a team like New England, or who was it? Was it New England? No, who brought in Vrabel last year? Cleveland.
And the Steelers brought in Brian Flores the year before.
Right, you can do more of that. And I know Andrew last night on the Sports Call show on KDK Plus brought up Mike McCarthy. I think that's a good call to make. Just get his insight. If he's going to sit out, pay him to come in and say, okay, this is what my, you know, just consulting work.
His insight on what?
On offense. I think he knows a lot about offense, and I would like to pry some of that out of him. Because I still think, I believe the premise of having a good defense and a good run game, there's need for both of those. But in this day and age, you need to figure out ways to also be explosive when need be. And, of course, that all starts with quarterback. That situation may not play out again this year. We may have to wait till next year for that to play out.
I mean,
out.
For me, it all starts with players. You want to give the Steelers, you know, some of the guys that the Cowboys have had in recent years, not this year necessarily because they lost their quarterback. That'd be great. I think it starts with
drafting
with your roster.
The right way. Yeah.
I don't know. That's putting a Band-Aid on a mortal wound to me is the idea of some consultant coming in or firing your running backs coach or something.
Maybe so. But I don't see it as a negative to bring in someone who has a lot of experience in the game.
Next. By the way, coming up next, we have George Michalowski on the Pit Game. We have Starkey's Card of the Week with the General. Want to ask him about the Skeens card. And speaking of that, Bob, Paul Skeens was on the Seth Meyers show last night. Seth, don't call me Sean Myers. And it was pretty good. He was talking about this 11-year-old collector. And Myers asked him what would have been the worst possible outcome for that card. And Skeens says, probably a 50-year-old collector, to be honest. Players get very annoyed at those kinds of people, Bob, when they're in autograph scrums. And, yeah, you want a kid to get a card like that, too, don't you?
Yeah, but also you don't know really if it's him or his dad doing it. And I'll tell you this. I see guys waiting outside to get autographs.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, at the Fairmont Hotel or at specific stadiums. And they use kids.
I know.
As a decoy.
That's true. Yeah.
And I hate that. You know, and those kids, listen, if you're a kid and you want some, I totally get it. But if you're a 50-year-old guy who needs one because you're going to profit off it and you use a kid as a prop, I'm sorry.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we have a lot happening. We have the big boy, Mark Cabali. We have Jay Caulfield at 11. As I mentioned, we have George Michalowski, Starkey's Card of the Week. And Zach Austin at 1:30 talking about that amazing game that he and they played last night. That was flat out fun. I love the fact, Bob, that the zoo these days is on the other side where you can see it on the camera. Don't you?
Yeah, and especially they were decked out in the black t-shirts last night. I thought that was a cool look.
So do I.
And it was really important. I'll tell you this, though. We could talk about Zach Austin all you want. They were down 10 and struggling, and North Carolina had just hit 3 or 4 threes to extend that lead to 10. It was Jalen Lowe who came back with back-to-back threes almost instantly in back-to-back possessions.
Yeah, Dunn had a few good shots.
If that 10-point deficit had grown to 13 or 15, he immediately got it back, you know, to 4 with 2 shots, and it changed everything, I thought, going into halftime.
Coming up, let's talk to George Michalowski about that. We also have plenty of art clips that Bob can riff on a little bit. I haven't talked to Bob.
Also, I have this from Steve on Twitter. He says, Bob, you and Joe should join our league for a round of golf this year. Shadow Lakes on Wednesdays. Many Hopewell alum. That's where I'm from. And I know Shadow Lakes. I used to belong there. So
I've played there. But you wouldn't be able to do it because you work on Wednesdays. So why don't you not give him any hope, Bob?
Steve, is it just on Wednesdays? Come on, man.
Yeah, let's get Fridays going. What movie is that behind you, Bob? Is that Jaws?
I don't know.
Is Jaws one of the greatest movies ever made? Would you agree with that?
It scared me. I mean, when I first, you know, watching that happen, I thought that the way they put it all together and how it's not the way it is today with all this AI stuff you can do. They had to do it the old-fashioned way. Create a shark with big...
And they did.
And they did. I think that's what it is.
Limits, are you afraid of Jaws?
At one point, I was. Yeah. I don't like scary movies.
Neither do I.
I really don't. Like all those.
Neither do I, Bob. And I hate when they show they like, it's so intrusive when I'm watching a show or a game and this horrifying horror movie preview comes on. You know what I mean? Where people, you know, they're like their heads twisting around.
Yeah.
Why
eventually
do they inflict those? They should say warning, just ahead, horror movie preview. And then I can turn the channel.
Yeah, I'm not big with those. I get annoyed with them because they do scare me.
It's terrible when like it gets all quiet and everybody's just kind of looking around and then all of a sudden something pops out of the wall and goes like, oh,
yeah,
it just drives me nuts.
Why do people enjoy that?
I don't know. Doran loves it.
I don't enjoy that feeling.
I don't either.
It's the feeling I seek to avoid in my entire existence. Why would I sit there and watch it and have it? Bob.
No, Freddy Krueger, all those kinds of things. You know what was going to happen eventually, but they dragged it along, build up of the music. All of a sudden, the moment happens.
Crowley has texted me, I did not break the chair. The chair we usually use was broken, presumably by Donnie. So he throws Donnie under the bus. So I switched them, only to find that the new chair was more broken than...
Everybody's getting blamed.
Yeah, I'm not buying any of that. But not only am I not buying that, but regardless of the circumstances, he should have informed me that you have a badly deformed chair on your hands there.
Yeah, maybe a heads up would have been nice.
Bob, you agree with that?
No, not necessarily. I think you can look at this chair over here. I used to for years sit in that chair. Look at that chair.
Look at it.
It doesn't even
look
have
how pathetic it is.
It doesn't even have a handle.
Look. I know. No handle.
No handle. What am I going to do? But I got used to it because that was my little den of inequity where you guys buried me with no computer access and then yelled at me when I was on my phone.
Or when you called Ron stupid.
I didn't call him stupid.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits, before we get to George Michalowski, 2 more very quick six-pack items. Crack one, please. Bob, McKeesport High School's gym, Nene Campbell Gym, has been renamed or named in addition with this name, Swin Cash. Was there last night. She went on to star at UConn. Now she works for the New Orleans Pelicans, senior VP of basketball operations and team development. That is awesome. What a great player she was.
And, you know, she was doing stuff back then when you didn't hear a lot about women's basketball as much as you do now. And she's one of those pioneer types who's, because of her performances and what she meant to the sport, elevated the game. And so congrats to her. That was a wonderful scene, especially when you get naming the entire place after you.
So cool.
What more can you do?
She autographed the court. I love it. Last one, Limits. Why, thank you. Pirates sign Adam Frazier. Bob, I'm going to tell you something here. This happened yesterday and I never even talked about it. Like, I have no inclination to even talk about this. I almost feel like someone's going to turn on the lights here and say, you know, it's going to be one of those, you know, like the old candid camera. We were just joking. This wasn't really the Pirates off season. Here's what they really did. Adam Frazier? Really? At 33 years old, coming off a 202 season? No, thank you, Bob.
Well, that means if you look at what the biggest signing they've made in this offseason is Andrew McCutchen coming back at 1 year.
He's probably going to be their cleanup hitter.
And again, I've said it before, all due respect to him, he's one of the best in the history of the franchise, but you got to upgrade your positions, and that's one of them they need to be upgraded. Now, they will tell you that just like last year, they're going to, you know, you're going to see some names that don't have places to go, wait for the price to come down, the bargain hunt, and they'll sign some guys.
No, they'll get the next Rowdy
Michael
Tellez.
Taylor,
Michael A. Taylor.
And all you end up with
Edward Olivares, who
14 guys who make less than $2 million a year,
yeah, right.
And you'll be counting on them. I've said for many years, and I'll say it again, I'd rather have one. If you're going to spend $29 to $35 million total in your free agent season, give me one bat at that. Give me a guy, sign him for 3 years, $100 million.
Are they spending that much in free agency?
But no, I'm saying right now it's only like 10. But yeah. I got to imagine there are going to be other players coming in here, don't you think? There will be.
Players in quotes? Or well, no. Adam Frazier coming off a 290 yeah, on base percentage?
My point is they're going to give a whole bunch of those one-year deals. Sorry yeah. about that.
Breaking news?
No.
What is that?
Any news, Bob?
Do you mind
Bob,
if I take it?
Do you have breaking news? No, if you have to take it, please.
Yes, Mr. Schefter, please sit off the set and let us know what happens when you return.
Let's go to George Michalowski. What is happening here? There's phones ringing and people talking all over the
place.
Is
your phone ringing?
No, it's
Bob. My phone rang earlier.
Bob did everything. George writes for Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers Pitt basketball. And George, you've been on it. Even when Pitt was struggling, I would ask you every week, are they going to make the tournament? Are they going to make the tournament? You were steadfast in saying yes, but you thought last night's game going into it was gigantic. Man, it sure feels that way today, yes?
Certainly. Certainly, Joe. I think that win definitely moved Pitt up a couple spots on the eyes of the NCAA Tournament Committee, the bracketology experts. I think although North Carolina has struggled this year and they've lost a lot of games, they're still an extremely talented team. I talked about this with Donnie Football yesterday. I mean, this team, RJ Davis, is a Conference Player of the Year. They've got five stars all over the court. So it was a big win for Pitt. I think morale-wise, too, like picking up a win in front of a crowd like that really just energized this program even more going forward.
So, George, there are a lot of keys to the game. Zach Austin's going to get a lot of attention, and well, that he should. But I really thought the key to this win was an immediate response led largely by Jalen Lowe when it was a 10-point deficit, and it looked like North Carolina was going to maybe extend that as they went into halftime. Instead, he got hot on an 8-0 run, and it was his 2 3-pointers back-to-back. You could see a guy who wants to step up in those situations, and I thought that enabled them to come back in the second half.
I agree with you. I mean, it was that last 4 minutes of the first half felt like make or break. Like, Pitt got down. They had battled back already a couple times. But we'd seen in the first 5 years of Capel's tenure, you know, that happens, and then the rest of the game's a wash. Pitt falls apart. Now they've got guys like Jalen Lowe. Last year they had Blake Hinton, who lived for the moment and wants to keep the team in it, even when it gets bad. So that was a really good point, Bob. I mean, the end of that first half, that personal 8-0 run was huge. I actually noticed in the second half, I believe there were around 10 minutes to go, and Jalen Lowe had just taken a bad shot. He got blocked. UNC went the other way. It was a couple possessions in a row when Pitt couldn't get points. Jeff Capel called a timeout, or it was a media timeout, and Lowe went to the huddle. Looked like Capel, from my point of view, was not chewing him out necessarily, but really getting on him. Next possession, Jalen dives on the floor twice in a row, if you'll remember, poking the ball out from RJ Davis and then almost poking away from Seth Trimble, led to a turnover, and then Pitt hit a huge three from Guillermo on the other end. So Jalen, I mean, I think they're really proud of him for that performance last night. 18-6-7 is nothing to joke about, and I know he had three turnovers, but as a team, this team's taking care of the ball better than it has all year in the last two games with 9 combined turnovers. It's looking really positive for Pitt right now.
George, does this win for Pitt say more about the Panthers, or does it say more about the team that North Carolina is this year?
Man, I think it says more about Pitt. I do. I mean, North Carolina, there's a lot of pressure down there. We went to the post-game press conference yesterday. It took them 30, 40 minutes. So they didn't even come up to the press room. We had to go outside the locker room, and they were really down about that loss, and they've got Duke coming up. But that team's so talented, man. Their losses are to Kansas and Michigan State and Auburn. Like, they've played the hardest teams in the country. So I think they'll figure it out. Their ACC record is still pretty strong. So as long as the national pressure doesn't get to them, I think they could still make the NCAA tournament. Now, I learned a lot about Pitt last night. I mean, we saw that defense take it up to a notch that we haven't seen all year. Zach Austin, are you kidding me? Like, he looked like an NBA 3-and-D wing for probably, I'd say, one of the first times this year other than Ohio State. I mean, those blocks were incredible. 2 blocks in the last minute and a half, 2 go-ahead threes in the last 5 minutes. Like, he was playing at a level where they need him to play. I mean, they've had Jalen Lowe and Ish Leggett leading the way as a pair all year, and now you add in these guys like Austin and Corin making big plays down the stretch. It's a winning formula.
George, Bob thinks you're a wonderful man. Thank you for joining
us. I do, George.
We'll talk to you next week.
You guys are too. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right.
There he goes, George Michalowski, Pittsburgh Sports Now. And yeah, Jay Williams at the end of that broadcast last night, kind of intimating that North Carolina looked like they threw in the towel when there was still time left. He's like, they're not even gathering as a group to talk about it. You watch Pitt, you know, they are before these free throws. There was still like 30 seconds left, Bob. And from his observations, it was like North Carolina was like, this one's done.
Yeah, I think they were just totally discombobulated.
Yeah.
Hubert Davis even looked confused to me on the sideline there. But I thought Pitt, to his point about the second half, you know, they scored 44 points to North Carolina in the first half. Second half, 21, that's it. And they started the second half 5 straight points, and then they were limited to 16 points the rest of the way over the final 17-30. I mean, 16 points, that's it? That's a clampdown on defense, and it put pressure on them.
Big time. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week with the General. General Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win Starkey's Card or Cards of the Week comes by going to our website, 937thefan.com, to the contesting page right around noon, Wednesday through Friday. General, much as I hate to say it, I think the Card of the Week is Patrick Mahomes. Bob, what do you think?
I mean, I couldn't really disagree with that, although I think Saquon Barkley has a lot to do with it. He may be the one guy over all these years who can break Willie Parker's 75-yard Super Bowl touchdown rushing. The guy is explosive, and he was explosive again.
Wonder Twin?
I can't bet against Mahomes. It's probably Patrick.
How are you, General? What do you
got? Good morning. Appreciate you having me. 57 million people watch Kansas City, Buffalo. We got to go with the crowd this week. We're going Patrick Mahomes. Outside of black and gold, that's the number one request we get for football cards, Patrick Mahomes. Hands down.
What about Barkley? Where is he on this list?
Barkley, this is a little bit of nuance for cards, but because he changed teams, his rookie card is as a Giant, and most people now want him as an Eagle. And there's a little bit of a conflict there card-wise. So he's popular. There's something to be said in the collectible industry about wearing the same colors all your life. So if Patrick Mahomes' rookie was a Seahawk and now he was a Chief, it would be a little different.
Where is General, where is Cordarrelle Patterson on that list? And is there any chance you can get me a card of him taking a pitch out?
I do have cards of him. I could get you, yeah. Vikings rookie card, actually. But don't get many requests for those. But Patrick Mahomes,
I bet not. Lastly, General, this card. Bob, do you still have questions about the Skeens card being found by this 11-year-old?
I seem to think, and Skeens last night, Joe had alluded to it on the Seth Meyers show, said the worst-case scenario would have been some collectible guy, all due respect, getting this card and turning into something else, which I think everyone would want to do. But 11-year-old kid strikes me as maybe his father. Given how much all of this cost, you know, no 11-year-old kid's going to spend $700 on a collection of cards. So, I mean, I don't know. And I also don't know what he's going to want in return or what his parents may want in return.
Have you seen his story? It's interesting because he asked for the box for Christmas, and his mom didn't get it for him. Lollygagged a little while, and the price went up quite a bit. She bought it on Black Friday, put it away. And as we surmised a couple weeks ago, it was a Christmas gift. He got it out of a pack that he got.
I didn't know that. That's good. That's at least that makes for a fun Christmas gift for sure.
Well, and it's interesting, like, because to Mr. Skeens' assumption there, if it's a feel-good story, right, that an 11-year-old kid gets it, that's what we all want. Just should have been an 11-year-old kid from Baseball Card Castle.
You would have loved that attention. We would have been over there all day.
It wouldn't even be the attention as much as just feeling good for the people that you associate with every day. But I'm happy that the kid got it. It's a good story. And for all the criticism the Pirates get, man, in a marketing sense, they actually trumped the story. They threw gas on the fire.
Tell me again, General, how much you think the card will be worth to this kid right now. And if, you know, it's like a game show. If he wanted to play Deal or No Deal and he waited 10 years and Skeens became one of the 5 greatest pitchers who ever lived.
Or not.
But my point would be, what is it worth today, and what would it be worth then if he does what I mentioned or not?
See, I think there's two elements to it, and one is selling the sizzle, right? When you're selling it now, you're selling it with the story. If you wait, it has really only half of it is about Skeens' production. The other half is the sizzle of the story goes away because there will be another story. Cooper Flagg will be hot or someone else will be hot. And that has nothing to do with taking away from Skeens. It has to do with short attention span of American sports consumer. So to me, I sell into the sizzle.
Sizzle? So
there were other cards.
So again, what would it be worth right now?
I'm going to say between $1 and $1.5 million.
And if he goes on to become, let's say, the greatest pitcher who ever lived, what would it be worth 10 years from now? Best guess.
$1.5 to $1.8 million. And that's keeping yourself not worried about economic circumstances in the world. There's so many other factors. That's why, to me, here's the perfect analogy. Juan Soto turned down $550 million from the Nationals for what? To get $700? Okay, so he made an extra 150. Percentage-wise, that's what, 30%? But was it worth the downside risk? You follow what I'm saying? To me, especially people that don't have millions of dollars, I'm taking the million.
And I would, too. I mean, if that's the case, because, you know, it's risk-reward.
Here's the other thing, guys.
If it goes the other way, though, this could fall off.
And not only that, you could give me the million back, and I could reappropriate it into other things that are going to appreciate greater.
Thank you, General.
That's a smart man right there. That's why we call him the General.
That's why we call him the General. See you, buddy.
Take care.
Bye.
Does he do mutual funds?
I don't know what he does. He does a lot. There's literally millions of cards there and all kinds of other things, I might add.